Good morning, Midland First. It is a joy to be with you this morning and a privilege for us to get to worship together. We have some announcements for you this morning. Gabrielle has an announcement about some important dates that you'll want to save and put on your calendar.
Good morning, church. I'm going to be lazy and just stand right here if that's okay. We are really excited to be able to present to you the musical program year for the calendar year. We have four great opportunities for you to invite your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, enemies, I don't care. Invite people, because we have our second season of our Next Generation Music Concert Series coming up this year. As you can see, they are the second Sunday of June, July, and August at 7 p.m. right here in this sanctuary. Our first act will be a big surprise because we are still in negotiations with a local group. Our second act is the Second Act Opera Company. If you have never seen them, they are absolutely delightful professional opera singers who go around and do an educational program for elementary school students. And Bill Buchhout, who is in charge of this group, does a opera camp for kids, which is kind of an oddball thing, but the kids enjoy it. And then lastly, we have Brenda Portman, who is currently serving as a second job, the Hyde Park UMC down in Ohio. She is an award-winning international organist who we are delighted to have here. She is also a published composer. So in an effort to be able to support those composers who are still alive and living and able to hear their music in person, I am delighted to be able to have her come to our sanctuary. Secondly, the King's Brass will be our headliners for this year's Curry Concert. That will also be here in this sanctuary. The information is up there. May 9th, I believe it's a Friday, at 7 p.m. This concert is free. This concert we were able to get because they do not have a contract going with the Midland Center for the Arts this season, so we were able to procure them for zero. For those coming in the doors. We did pay them to come because they're very nice gentlemen. But we encourage you to encourage people to come because this is a group that does sacred music. They do it in their own style. They're a lot of fun, and we really love having them here. This will be the second or third time we have hosted them here for the Curry Concert. So those are my announcements to you. May, June, July, and August are busy music seasons, not just for our church, but for this community. So we please encourage you to invite folks who may have nothing to do on a Sunday evening or on this particular Friday night. And for those kids who are here, if you cannot afford tickets for mom for Mother's Day, this is your gift, right? This is like in your bracket of being able to afford. So I encourage you to please put these dates on your calendar. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. And Pastor Jeremy has an announcement for us this morning as well.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Good morning. I have an update to share from our Strategic Leadership Council. Serving in its role as the church's Board of Trustees, the SLC has elected its officers at its first meeting of the year that was on January 28th, as required by our Book of Discipline. In doing so, Ellen Talbot has been elected to serve as the SLC chairperson. Brad Barr has been elected to serve as our SLC vice chairperson. And Jan Juergens has been elected to serve as the SLC's secretary. Excited about the gifts and the leadership that each one brings to their respective roles and their desire to serve Christ and to serve you as the congregation of this church. So I invite us to pray for them alongside our other members of the SLC, which includes Diane Lake, KG Dusso, Bill Klein, Pat Seaton, Faith Fuentes, and Dan Morgenstern. As we look to walk alongside one another as the church in our shared mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ, let us be grateful for those who are serving in leadership among us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. And a final announcement. You will see there are Valentines around the sanctuary in little envelopes. If you would like to take one of those and go and visit, they have names on them. We would love for you as an intergenerational ministry to take one of those envelopes with those cards and go and visit those who are listed there. You can do that anytime during the month of February, not just before Valentine's Day. But we would love to see all of those little envelopes taken off and our members gone and visited. Thank you. And now we will come to a time of greeting where we can greet one another. And I would like to ask that you remain standing after Aria rings our bell and brings us back together, because we will join in the call to worship afterwards. Thank you.
Please remain standing and join me in the call to worship. The Lord our God is trustworthy and good. We need not fear when Jesus calls us to let down our nets on the other side of the boat. He never leaves us empty.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stay standing as we join in our first song for today, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore.
Oh, no, so love and possessions.
Please be seated.
Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you.
So, Pastor Jeremy is joining us to show us that it's okay to just rip it open and throw the wrapping on the floor. Now, maybe at your house you have different rules, but for Bible Blast Sunday, this is how it works, okay? All right.
Not yet. Okay, so when we unwrap, there will be some different layers of paper, and they mean some different things. So I want to tell you a little bit about them. So the brown wrapping paper represents the fact that the Bible is very old, and the words that within it have guided us for a very long time. And so you can go ahead and unwrap that layer.
Yay! That's so perfect.
Good job. You guys are awesome.
The gold layer represents that the Bible is very valuable. We value the Bible, and its words are like gold to us. And so we treasure our Bible for a lifetime. You can go ahead and rip it open. That's a thicker paper, isn't it? The comic book layer represents that the Bible has a lot of stories. There are stories about the beginning of the earth and how ordinary people lived and met challenges. There are stories about kings and prophets and brave men and women who listened to God's voice speaking to them to do the right thing. And sometimes they're really entertaining stories. You can go ahead and rip that layer open too. The white layer stands for light, purity. The Bible being wrapped in white means that it's a gift from God. And reading the Bible is a way of finding out what God has in store for us. From time to time, prophets would be born who would tell us about God's laws and how we conduct our lives. And so we get to know more about God as we read the Bible. And you can unwrap that layer as well. And there you have your Bible, the heart of what was in those wrappings. And so I just want to remind you that as you have your Bibles, that these are things to treasure, the things it's a gift from the Lord to have his words with us. And so I invite you to open it and to read it and to go on an adventure with God as you do. And so thank you so much for being here. And shall I lead us in prayer?
Oh, that would be lovely, Pastor.
All right. Let's pray together, all of us. God, I thank you so much for our Sunday school, for all of our kids, and for the gift that it is to give away Bibles today. Lord, I pray that each of us would be reminded of who you are and drawn deeper into your presence as we study your word. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift that it is, and I pray that you would help us to sow seeds that would grow and bear fruit for your kingdom. And I pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And maybe Cruz Working, the congregation could express their love and encouragement. Okay, guys, let's pick it all up.
Amen. Thank you to our chancel choir. As we continue in worship, we take time to express our gratitude to God and to support the mission and ministries of the church with the gathering of our offerings and tithes this morning. As we do so, I invite you to take the red friendship pads that you'll find in the pews. Invite you to let us know that you are here and perhaps make note of whom you are worshiping alongside that you might greet one another after worship this morning. And so with all this, would the ushers please come forward for the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Almighty and faithful God, give us such faith that we would cast our nets by your direction, trusting in the catch that you will provide, that it will provide for our needs and even more. We pray your blessings upon these gifts, O Lord, that we might share the bounty of your grace with one another in our community and the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading today from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish, that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and all the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. We love you, God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I begin this morning, I would like to note, for those of you that have the manuscript and find that helpful, you will find a couple of typos because your pastor is not perfect. Neither of us are, but today, I noticed them this morning and I wanted to point that out because I think they're important. And so, just to note that. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The gospel, according to Luke, was written as a well-ordered account so that the one to whom it was written, Theophilus, would have a firm grasp on the word that has been given to them. There are different theories as to who this Theophilus was. Some believe it was a real person. John Wesley believed that the person being referred to was someone in Alexandria, Egypt. Others believe that this person was a Roman official. And still others believe that this was just an honorary title, meaning friend of God, given to someone who fit that description. Each of the gospel writers write with intentionality, but I draw your attention to it because in Luke chapter 4, Luke writes that Jesus makes a claim about himself, and that gives us a lens to look through in reading Luke's account. From Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." As we zero in on our focus on the chosen text for today, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the reading from Isaiah gives us context and insight into who we know Jesus to be. We also know from chapter 4 that Jesus spoke with authority, cast out a demon, and healed Simon's mother-in-law from a fever. When Jesus sat down in Simon's boat from our text today, after he was finished teaching just away from the shore, the text doesn't tell us why Jesus did what he did or said what he said, but it tells us that Simon and those with him had fished all night and caught nothing. According to commentators in their details about what it would have been like to be a fisherman when Jesus walked the earth, the nets that Simon and his crew were using weren't just small things. They were nets that could be cast several feet from the boat. The fact that these nets needed to be cast, brought back in, and cast again was a laborious job. And I can imagine the fact that they caught nothing in a whole night was very discouraging, especially considering that it was their livelihood. And they were probably exhausted at this point when Jesus was teaching. When Jesus tells Peter to let down the nets, the text says, Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. That's verses 5 and 6 from our text today. "Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter, who has not been so named yet in Luke's text, does probably the last thing he wants to do at this point, because Jesus says so. He does not know what's about to happen. Jesus does not add, "Because I will fill your boat with fish." But Simon knows what Jesus did for his mother-in-law, and he's probably heard what Jesus has already been doing elsewhere. Certainly, he had heard all that Jesus had said that morning before casting these nets. Over the last few weeks, Pastor Jeremy has been talking to us about what it means to be the body of Christ, how we function together as children of God, redeemed by his blood and incorporated into his body through the power of the Holy Spirit, by which we are given gifts to build up the body of Christ here on earth. I chose this passage from Luke for today because it represents a piece of the whole, what we use our gifts for. Peter's first reaction after the catch of fish, when the boats begin to come in and they begin to sink because they're so full, is to fall to his knees at the feet of Jesus and say, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. That's verses 8 and 9. This is similar to what the prophet Isaiah said when he saw the Lord in his temple. Isaiah 6, verses 3 through 7 say, "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.'" That's an important connection because Peter recognizes who Jesus is and the power that he has. And he calls Jesus Lord and recognizes his sin. Yet Jesus does not respond by turning him away. Rather, as the coal touched Isaiah's lips, so we see Peter's repentance from sin, from his old ways. And Jesus, upon Peter's recognition, tells Peter not to be afraid, and that from now on, he is going to be catching for people. The Greek phrase for the English translation, "catching for people," means to catch alive. No longer will Peter be catching fish to kill and eat as his livelihood. He will be calling others to life in Christ. Catching alive. That is what Jesus came to do. And that is God the Father's will. To call us up and out of our old selves, our old lives, to an entirely new and everlasting life in Jesus Christ. It wasn't about the catch that day so much as it was about the fishermen. As we've been reading through 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he's been helping us to develop a fuller understanding of this new life to which we are called in Christ Jesus. A life that is fully devoted to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master of everything we are and everything we do. To a life that bears fruit in the way that we interact with others. A life that proclaims loudly the hope that we have and gives it away. The hope that we have is alive and tangible. God himself, not to be taken for granted. All of the reasons that Paul talks about the importance of each part of the body and why we all have different gifts, what the fruit of the Spirit are, as we see in Galatians chapter 5, his definition of love and why it is the greatest of things that remain when everything else is gone, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Ultimately, that's all for one reason. The reason is because as soon as Jesus said that Peter would catch people, to catch alive, the last verse of our text tells us that as soon As the boats were brought to shore, they immediately left everything and followed him. Would you leave everything to follow Jesus? Even if it cost you everything you've ever known, including your livelihood? That's what he calls us to do. To leave everything and to follow him wherever he leads. Because he's the good shepherd, and we never have to be afraid of the truth. He himself is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Everything else either serves to draw us in and closer to God or to pull us away from God. Which way do the things in your life draw you? Would you cast your nets? If you've been at it all night and haven't caught anything, would you leave everything to follow Jesus if he calls you to do so? I invite you to ponder that this week. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we come to a time of prayer together. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are, for your presence all around us, and that you've made your home in our hearts. May it transform us from the inside out. As your Spirit calls us deeper into your life, and more deeply to reflect Jesus Christ, our Savior, who even the wind and the waves obey, who, when he asks us to cast our nets, fills them with fish, who speaks with authority and performs miracles, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Lord, grant us the grace and the courage through the power of the Holy Spirit to emulate Christ, to take up our cross, and to endure it for the joy set before us. Intimacy and relationship with you, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. Help us to be salt and light in a world that needs you, attentive to the needs of those around us and always listening to your voice. Lord, we lift up to you and express our sympathies to the family and friends of Alma Kaiser Schaefer, who passed away on January 30th. And likewise, we extend our sympathies to the family of Dennis Caney, who passed away this morning. We also acknowledge that by the power of the resurrection, death gives way to life, and death is not the end. And we acknowledge the white carnation on the altar as a celebration of the recent birth of Adelie Grace Baker, the daughter of Sydney and Andrew Baker. Proud grandparents are Mike and Melissa Leplow, and great-grandparents are Bruce and Carrie Race, and we celebrate with them. Thank you, Lord, that death gives way to life, and that it is not the end. Help us, like Peter, to see you for who you are, and ourselves the same, and to be obedient to your call to fish for people, to catch alive, to tell them who you are, the way, the truth, and the life, and to extend the invitation to come to you, to come to the Father through you. And the joy and peace that comes from knowing that you have gone to prepare a place for us in your Father's house. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you have taught us to pray when you said, Our Father, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as we join in our closing hymn, number 358 in our hymnals, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. This benediction. Be not afraid to go wherever the Lord calls you to go, whenever he calls you to go, because he who calls you is gentle and kind. He will always provide whatever is needed when it is needed. Go therefore in peace, clasping the hand of your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Kicked in right in the middle of the first part. I was like,